Noel and Sandra for allowing me to come up and do the recording up at their property. It's a beautiful place. There was no mozzies. Praise the Lord for that. Secondly, it's the end of Anzac Day. And I know we've not been able to get together in crowds, but standing out at the end of the driveway with neighbors at the end of theirs, that was a very, very special moment as we got to enjoy time with our neighborhood, with the restrictions, of course. Perhaps you haven't been able to do that. Well, in just a few moments, we're going to give you the chance. Good morning, church family, and welcome again to our Sunday morning services via online recording. Julie and I hope that you guys have been having a great week, and hopefully you've had a little extra time. And if you have, I hope you've been investing some of that in your relationship with the Lord. You have no idea how much of a dividend that would pay to invest that time with Him. This week has been a celebration of Anzac Day. And it's been a little unusual. Places where there's large crowds, there's no crowds. So for the first time in 100 years, the public can't attend. So maybe you haven't honored and celebrated the Anzac. This morning, we're going to do just that. I hope you've enjoyed our little celebration of the Anzac, which is an important part in the history of Australia. This morning, we're going to look at a little bit of that history, and then we can find that in history. It's readily available for us to find. But after we look at that, then I want to tell you the untold story. There's a part of that history that most people really don't know. And I'm going to share that with you. But first, let's look what happened in history. We all know that the Anzac was formed whenever, at the beginning of World War I, and Australia and New Zealand was pulled into the conflict, and when they first fielded their army here in Australia, there was about 3,000 people that were here in the army. And then all of a sudden, maybe you've heard the story of the Kui marches, where they went through towns and got people to sign up, and several thousand signed up for the army. And by the time they departed, the Australian army was about 50,000 people. So they all loaded up aboard ship and they took off. Now, they didn't go to England like they had originally expected to do. To stay away from the English winter, they went to Egypt. And that's where they found themselves, looking up at the Sphinx, looking up at the pyramids. And can you imagine some of these Australian and New Zealand guys, probably in their early 20s or even younger, have just come off the farm, and now they've ended up in Egypt looking at the Sphinx and looking at these ancient landmarks that I'm sure they would have been blown away. I know even now, after reading a lot about the landmarks, I would be blown away just to see it. The stories told of two diggers that climbed up to the top of the pyramids. And when they looked off both sides, off to one side, they saw all the armies gathered in their rows. And then they looked off to the other side, and when they looked over there, they saw the Sphinx and the other pyramids. And they said it was just an awesome sight to see these things. But you know what, these guys, as they were training, they didn't have a lot of time. History records they were working 6 days a week, 8 to 10 hours a day. And you know what, they worked hard, and it took that hard work to transform them into really effective military. And after working hard and very little leave, when they finally did get a little bit of leave, they loaded up in a truck and took off to Cairo, Egypt, which is about, on the old scale, about 10 miles away. And when they got to Cairo, well, you can expect what young guys did. There's a bunch of pubs and brothels there. And these guys who had been working really, really, really hard, well, it was party time for them. But you know, when they ended up in Cairo, they discovered that God was already there. Well, not all of them, but some of them did. You see, just before this experience where they all ended up in Egypt, God had laid his hand on a young Bible school teacher in England. And this guy was a very gifted man. He was a very gifted communicator. And he had made a commitment to the Lord that he was going to fully surrender himself to the Lord, whatever the Lord wanted him to do. And as he was teaching his Bible college classes, the Lord burdened him about the soldiers over in Egypt. And he had made that commitment, decided, well, Lord, whatever you want me to do. So he resigned his professorship and headed off to Egypt. He was looking for a place to get involved with, and he found himself as the chaplain of the YMCA and gave him a place to work from. And when he got there, history records that he found a lot of Australian and New Zealand soldiers coming by to visit with him. Now, the whole purpose of that YMCA place right there was to provide a wholesome social outing for the soldiers that are there. And that would kind of hopefully keep them away from the brothels and the pubs. But Oswald Chambers had made a commitment. He wanted to reach people for the Lord. So he started teaching Bible study classes. And when he started doing that, everybody was telling him, you're going to lose your crowd. Nobody's going to come around if you're teaching Bible study lessons. Well, what they didn't realize is that Oswald Chambers was a very, very, very gifted communicator. And when he started teaching these lessons, he started having the soldiers come by, and hundreds started gathering in. Hundreds of soldiers started coming in. And Oswald Chambers wasn't a real soft preacher. He believed the Bible, and he preached it for what it meant. And he shared the gospel with these men. And only God knows the amount of people who surrendered their lives to the Lord during that time as he was ministering unto them. And after a little while of training and staying there in Cairo, the soldiers got ready. They developed into a lethal army. And it wasn't long until they shipped out for the Gallipoli Peninsula. We all know what happened there. And we celebrated that this week. Thousands and thousands and thousands of soldiers died on the peninsula at Gallipoli. But the untold story is how many of those soldiers had given their hearts to Christ because of the ministry of Oswald Chambers. How many had given their lives to Christ? And when they went and gave their lives on the battlefield, they ended up in heaven. Why? Because one man chose, I'm going to surrender it all. I'm going to give the Lord everything. Only God knows how many that would be. There's a passage of scripture that Oswald Chambers really believed in. Let me read it to you. This is from the mouth of Jesus. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother and wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Oswald Chambers knew the cost of discipleship, and he was willing to give his entire life to the cause of Christ. And who knows the result? But he was also called upon to give his life. A couple of years after the Gallipoli campaign, Oswald Chambers was ministering there to the soldiers who had come over, who were injured. And then all of a sudden he came down with a bad case of appendicitis. But he wouldn't go to the hospital. He wouldn't go to the hospital because he didn't want to take up any beds that could be taken by a soldier. And then it wasn't long that his appendix ruptured and Oswald Chambers died. He gave the ultimate price. Sometimes we can wonder why somebody would give all that they had for the cause of Christ. It's because Oswald Chambers had the right attitude. He had the right commitment. Let me share with you some of the things that he said. He wrote, "Shut out every other consideration and keep yourself before God for this one thing and one thing only, and that's my utmost for His highest. I am determined to be absolutely and entirely for Him and for Him alone." Folks, that is commitment. There's one more quote I would like to share with you from this man so you can see what his heart was. He wrote, "Jesus Christ is always unyielding to my claim to my right to myself. The one essential element in all our Lord's teaching about discipleship is abandon. No calculation, no trace of self-interest." To me, that sounds an awful lot like what Jesus said in Luke 14. Now, how does that apply to us? We all know that our world is changing. It's changed more in the last 3 months than any of us can remember in our lifetime. But as the world is changing, why don't we consider our own Christian lives and see if there's something that we can reevaluate, something that we can change, something that would make us more dedicated to Christ than what we have been before. True, the world's changing and things are going to be different. But I think our lives can change and it can be different. And we, as Oswald Chambers said, can be sold out for Him. As he said, "I am determined to be absolutely and entirely for Him and for Him alone." What's wrong with being all for Jesus? Father, I thank you, Lord, for this little bit of history that we can learn from. And thank you that you have made me aware of this untold story about a man who gave it all for you. And help us learn from his example that, Lord, you can take somebody, although he was active in your ministry, he was teaching teachers and preachers how to preach the Word of God and talking about the Bible, but yet you laid your hand on him. You wanted more. And Oswald Chambers had made that commitment. He said, "Yes, Lord, I'll go." And when he went to Egypt, only you know the amount of people who come to Christ because of his work. Lord, I pray that my life and the life of those who are listening today will be surrendered to you so it can be you and you alone. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.